With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the Senior Director of Charts at Billboard. And joining me, as always, is Billboard's Deputy Editor Digital, Katie Atkinson. Hello, Katie.
Hi, Keith.
How's it going?
I'm great. I, you know, had a pretty fun little weekend.
What'd you do over your weekend?
Well, I was working, I suppose.
Sure.
I was at the Luke Bryan concert at Dodger Stadium.
Well, that's a nice way to spend your weekend.
Yes. He was the first ever country headliner at Dodger Stadium, and I got to talk to him backstage at Dodger Stadium.
And you also got an amazing picture of him on your Instagram. A couple, actually.
I feel like I need to say, as a professional journalist, that he instructed me to put my phone in selfie mode.
Took
my phone because I try not to ask for such things during interviews.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm not mad that he, went ahead and did that.
Well, you have a whole full story up on Billboard.com.
Yes, please check that out. The interview's up. And, you know, if you're on my Twitter, you can see the insane perspective of the concert that I had in the crystal clear photo of Luke dancing above my head.
If you do your thing, like with your fingers where you pinch in, like Luke is literally looking at Katie.
He's saying, "Oh, hey, you interviewed me just a few minutes ago.
So crazy.
Nice to see you again."
Well, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop.
Today on the show, we've got news about Cardi B, Demi Lovato, Drake, ABBA, Tyga, and 6ix9ine.
What a motley crew of folks there.
Indeed it is. You tell me what the common bond is.
In just a few minutes, we'll tell you. Plus, we've got an interview with the rising singer-songwriter Bozzy. The artist who recently hit number one on the Pop Songs Airplay chart with Mine called in from the road to chat about his smash single, his album Cosmic, how he's looking forward to touring with one of his inspirations, Justin Timberlake, his thoughts on touring with Camila Cabello, and more. So stick around for that in just a bit.
But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes or your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts. Now let's talk about some of the big headlines over on billboard.com. So let's talk about Cardi B now.
All right, Cardi B.
Cardi B was set to join the final leg of Bruno Mars's 24K Magic Tour in September, but the rapper announced last week that she has to sit this one out. Mars will still hit the road as planned, starting September 7th in Denver, but as his finesse partner explained on Twitter, the tour was just too soon after giving birth to her baby Culture with Migos rapper Offset. Cardi tweeted, quote, "As of today, I won't be joining Bruno on tour this fall. I thought that after giving birth to my daughter that 6 weeks would be enough time for me to recover mentally and physically."
I know, Katie would know. Is that enough time?
I feel like I should take a pause and say, first of all, it's probably never enough time, but like I had 3.5 months after having my baby, and that still didn't feel like enough time, so... Cardi should definitely take a little bit more than 6 weeks.
Yeah, girl, take your time.
Continuing her statement, "I also thought that I'd be able to bring her with me on tour, but I think I underestimated this whole mommy thing.
Mm.
Not only am I just not ready physically, I'm not ready to leave my baby behind since the doctors explained it's not healthy for her to be on the road. I hope you guys understand that this decision has been the hardest to make, but I have to do what's best for myself and my baby. Thank you, Bruno, for being so supportive and understanding." And Bruno, of course, was supportive and understanding. He responded with his own tweet Just saying that the most important thing is you and your family's health. I know the fans will understand. He also said that they would play Bodak Yellow in her honor every night. So we'll have to stay tuned to see if he fills in with a different
warm-up. I was going to say, I'm like, are you going to get a different support act?
It's hard. I mean, like, it was almost a co-tour feeling like thing. You know what I mean? Like,
and they have a song together, and Cardi B is so big.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure a lot of people that bought tickets were
expecting Cardi
buying the package deal. But it was always his tour. It was the 24 Karat Magic tour.
It was an extension of the tour.
Yeah, so, you know, the Bruno fans still get the Bruno. So they just need to see if we're going to put somebody else there in her place.
What would be a good fit?
You know, I was thinking about this last week.
He doesn't exactly have, like, a whole bunch of, like...
He doesn't have a lot of other features. Because I was actually thinking, like, obviously he started his career as a songwriter. And so he was on, like, that song with B.O.B. Mm-hmm. And with Travie McCoy and with...
Oh, the Billionaire song.
And he, like, wrote CeeLo, Forget You. And, like, he, you know, there's all these things.
He was on the Diplo Bubble Butt song?
That's Major Lazer, right?
Major Lazer, yeah, sorry. Yeah. But yeah, he's not exactly like Bruno featuring someone on
his
tracks.
Yeah, there's not a perfect replacement that's like, no. You know, that would step in for Cardi.
Cardi is difficult to replace.
This is true. Irreplaceable. And after we recorded last week's podcast, we got some really sad news that I felt like we'd be remiss if we did not address. It was reported that Demi Lovato was hospitalized for an apparent overdose. According to new reports, as of Monday, the singer is still in the hospital nearly a week later.
Goodness.
Yeah. In positive news, though, Demi's fans have truly rallied around the pop star. They started the hashtag #HowDemiHasHelpedMe on Twitter to share stories about how Lovato's candidness about her addiction struggles has gotten them through some hard times. One fan tweeted about all the Demi Lovato songs that specifically helped her, writing... In sixth grade, I struggled with anorexia, and Demi's song, Believe in Me, saved me. In seventh grade, I had my suicide note written and struggled with self-harm, and Skyscraper saved me. In ninth grade, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and Warrior saved me. I will forever love her. So there's just some heavy, heavy
some
reaction
heavy shit
on Twitter. Another group of fans put on an impromptu concert in Atlantic City where Lovato was supposed to have performed on Thursday night before she had to cancel due to the hospitalization. In a Twitter video of the gathering, a dozen fans can be seen belting out the lyrics to Tell Me You Love Me for their idol, or in place of their idol.
Has Demi or Demi's team, as of today, Monday, put out any official statement?
The only word that we've gotten from Demi's team was the day of the hospitalization. They confirmed that she was okay, awake, and surrounded by family.
Okay. But we still ultimately don't really know.
We don't have
happened.
Any words from Demi's mouth. No comment, no tweets, no anything. Which I'm sort of surprised a full week later, but obviously this is a super dire situation, and I think they wanted to get word out that she's fine.
Right.
For those fans, but they probably don't want to delve too far into it and want to keep things as personal and private as possible.
Oy,
yeah.
So much to think about.
It's beyond heavy, but I have to say when the initial news came out, I'm just so glad that she's okay, because we've had so many of these stories where you hear the first bit of news and then it turns even darker.
Right.
And so the fact that she is okay is like the silver lining of everything.
Yeah.
Let's move on to happier things.
Yeah, I was like, I don't have a transition for that because...
Chart chat.
Well, the top of both the Billboard 200 albums chart and the Billboard Hot 100 songs charts look, well, a little familiar, as Drake's Scorpion and its song In My Feelings hold atop the lists, respectively, for a fourth and third week. Elsewhere, on a very sleepy Billboard 200 chart, there's not a single debut in the top 10.
What?
It's the first time we haven't had a debut in the top 10 since January.
Wow.
The Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again soundtrack zooms from number 20 all the way to number 3 in its second week on the list. The album is basking in the glow of the movie's first week in movie theaters. The latest chart-tracking week coincided with the movie's first week in theaters. So obviously that helps a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Over on the Billboard Hot 100, As In My Feelings holds tight. At number one, rapper 6ix9ine debuts with his first top 10 hit ever. As Fifi, featuring Nicki Minaj, bows at number four. It's also featuring Nicki Minaj and Murder Beats.
Oh.
Sorry, I had that wrong earlier. Well, Bow's at number 4, and 6ix9ine, you know, the controversial rapper, you know, previously peaked at number 12 with his debut chart hit Gummo last December. The new song's strong start is supported by its robust streaming launch with 45.7 million U.S. streams in the week ending July 26th, along with 24,000 downloads sold in the same period. And all those numbers are according to Nielsen Music.
You know, I kind of feel like with this one, I want a little more for Nicki Minaj.
In what way?
Just in the sense that, you know, this doesn't seem to showcase her talents and spotlight her as much as maybe we wanted. We talked about this, the fact that maybe it should even be a like a co-credit as opposed to a feature, almost.
I mean, she's the star of the show on this track. Like, wait, so Katie and I, she spits out, you know, music lingo because she actually knows music terminology. what is the standard amount of time that a rapper will put in for a feature on a track?
Oh, you mean like bars? That's what you're referring to? Like,
is it usually 8?
Yeah, like I think that they go in chunks of 8. Like typically like 16 would be a typical rap feature.
So like 8 bars will be like maybe like 20 seconds, and then 16 bars is like a 40 second feature.
Think about Dynamite by Tyle Cruz. You know how it starts with Ludacris at the beginning?
Ludacris is the intro,
but
then
it comes back again. Though it's like 2 separate 8 bars there. Like it's 8 bar in the beginning and an 8 bar like after the, you know.
Nicki is just like strings of bars.
Yeah, she's literally, it's like a duet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely like a duet, her and 6ix9ine. And like, you know, you mentioned, I think you referred to him as the controversial rapper.
Yeah.
He has a lot of baggage.
Has a lot of baggage. And so it's like when you associate yourself with him, you're kind of inviting that baggage to be sort of, well, are you help hoisting the baggage around?
Yeah.
To a certain degree.
But I mean, that's his baggage, so I don't blame Nicki for that, really. But like, you know, and I don't blame her for wanting to like hop on a hot new
track.
Artist song. Yeah. But like, you know, I just prefer, I think I prefer my Nicki with just, you know, by herself or with higher quality peers.
Well, you heard it here first.
Sorry, 6ix9ine.
Well, also, sort of. Okay. 6ix9ine clearly is never going to be on the show. Also on the Hot 100, we've got a new top 10 from Tyga. His song Taste featuring Offset rises 13 to 10 as its streams gain 4%, jumping to 30.2 million for the week. The track, which is Tyga's third top 10 hit, is also up in radio airplay and song sales. This has become like an actual, like legit. Whoops, I moved the microphone. This has actually become like a legit big hit.
It's a great song. Maybe Nicki Minaj should hop on it.
Well, there's already someone else on it because
yes,
Offset's on it.
There.
As for Offset, he earns his first solo top 10. His group Migos has notched 4 top 10s, while fellow Migos member Quavo has earned 2 solo top 10s.
So we're just waiting for the Takeoff top 10?
Where's Takeoff's top 10?
When does Takeoff take off?
We need that alliteration. Takeoff has already taken off.
Yeah, he just Takeoff has, is plenty fine.
He just needs to get his own top 10.
Yes.
Well, now, it's time for our interview with Bozzy. He called us up from the road shortly after he hit number 1 on the Pop Songs Airplay chart with his breakthrough hit Mine. He's been a busy man this year, opening for Camila Cabello on her tour, playing his own shows and festivals through the summer, and soon he'll be opening for Justin Timberlake's tour over in Europe starting on August 13th. In our conversation, Bozzy talks about his success with Mine, his Cosmic album, which was released not too long ago, actually, his fondness for short songs, it'll make sense in the interview, and how a seemingly, some might say, cosmic connection with Timberlake may have led to his hookup for the Pop Superstars tour. So, here's our interview with Bozzy. Welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. Bozzy, how are you, sir?
I am good. Good to be here, man. How are you?
We are doing great. Tell us where you're at. I know you already told us offline before we actually properly started recording, but where are you at right now?
I actually, if I'm being so honest with you, I don't know. I'm okay. On a tour bus somewhere 11 hours away from Arizona. That's all I know.
The life of a rock star, you have no idea where you're at. You're just somewhere on a tour bus, half awake, and you know that you have a sound check sometime later on today. That's basically what's happening.
Spot on.
So, you know, it's been a really big few weeks for you. Congratulations on hitting number one on Billboard's pop songs chart with Mine. What has the journey been like for you since you released that song last year?
Yeah, I mean, the journey has been everything, you know. I mean, about 2 years ago, I set out and I said I wanted to just release music, and, you know, I don't care how many people heard it at first, and I just wanted to put records out. I knew that, you know, my iPhone background says if you build it, they'll come, you know, quality over quantity. And I really live by that, and I just kept putting music out, and, you know, just like every other side, I put Mine out, and Mine sucks to do something, you know, much different and, you know, kind of lift up all the other records and kind of put so many people on the rest of my music. So it's been such a beautiful ride so far.
You know, Mine has earned more than 400 million on-demand streams in the U.S., according to Nielsen Music, and it's sold more than 300,000 downloads. Why do you think, you know, this song in particular has been embraced by fans in such a really, really big way, especially through streaming? Because people have really connected with the song. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always random. I think once a record, like, dives into the area of hit, it obviously is, like, you know, it's listed, you know, much beyond belief and much past the other records, because then it's put into the realm of, like, longevity. But I think it's always random, man. I think it's just, like, people just decide what they love and what they're into. And, you know, as an artist, it's not your job to try and force that to happen, but just to make good stuff that you're really into. And,
You released your debut album, Cosmic, earlier this year, which hit the top 20 on the Billboard 200. Was it always the goal to put out an album instead of just individual tracks or EPs, which is kind of the way some people are doing things these days?
Yeah, definitely an album. I mean, people, it kind of looks like Cosmic came out pretty quick, but I've been working on that album for, you know, 2.5-3 years. So the album is always definitely the goal, because I think that albums are like chapters and bookmarks, you know, and after 5 or 6 of them, you can always go back and be like, well, what was this first, you know? And you can check it, and it's cohesive and it's consistent, and you can listen to it. And, you know, I think an album really gives you a chance to make people feel something. I just think there's not enough quality now. It's like, if you were to tell me, you know, what did make you feel more, a 20-minute, you know, Netflix episode or a 3-hour movie, I'd definitely tell you, you know, if it was a great 3-hour movie, it was definitely that, you know, spiked my emotions. You know, I think an album is the same thing. You're given an opportunity to take people deeper than you can with one song or a couple of records.
You know, you talked a little bit about sort of in a sort of oblique way, kind of like the length of something, you know, a TV episode versus a movie. And I noticed on the album how all the songs, all 16 of the songs, they're all under 3 minutes apiece. And I was wondering if that was kind of intentional or if that was just how it worked out.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's unintentionally intentional. Like, I don't think, like, I'm not like, oh, we can't make the song if it's over 3 minutes. But I make music how I want to hear it, you know? Like, I personally don't listen to songs that are like 4 minutes and 30 seconds. Like, it's just too much for me. Like, I love so much music that when I'm listening to other stuff, like, I listen to half of a song and skip through. So I just wanted to make something that you didn't have to do that, you know? And a lot of that comes to me just being like, I don't know why people, you know, put bridges in their songs just because it's like other people do it, you know? Like, if I don't hear anything for a bridge, I'm not going to just make it because it's like structurally acceptable to have 3 hooks in a bridge. Like, that just doesn't matter to me. So I just wanted to, you know, structure these songs how I would want to hear them and not do them because, you know, it's just the standard of what other people are doing, because that just doesn't really bother me.
That's super interesting, because, I mean, it's really kind of the way that a lot of people, you know, consume music now, especially, like, you know, on YouTube and SoundCloud and Spotify. There's a lot of just, like, if you don't catch them in, like, the first, like, 30 seconds, you're going to lose them real quick. And, you know, I think, you know, maybe you would agree with this, but, like, the days of those kind of, like, epic, you know, 7-minute Guns N' Roses Queen songs are maybe there isn't a lot of room for that these days. Do you think that, or am I getting too crazy?
No, I don't think that. I think it's just when the quality's missing, no one's going to listen that far. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if this is what I'm saying. That if you made a 7-minute song that had people on their toes the entire time, you didn't just repeat the hook 6 times in a 7-minute song, and, you know, if you kept it interesting and if the quality was there, like, you know, when it comes to music for me, it's nothing that can exist and nothing that can't be possible, because it's art and it's being created, you know? Like, who's to say that if I combined Mine and Beautiful in the same song and just made it, you know, one song, that it still would be huge? Because it's like, okay, cool, well, sometimes we'll just skip the first one to get to the second. I just think there's no rules. I think it's like you can do whatever you want, which is why I was like, I just want shorter songs. It's like, I can, you know?
Yeah, you're throwing out the formula.
Yeah, we got you. Speaking of sort of, you know, doing things in a really unconventional way, you know, nearly 3 years ago, you know, you made news as the first artist to premiere a single on Vine with Bring You Home, and then Mine gained popularity thanks to its use in a Snapchat lens filter. You know, are you yourself always looking for new opportunities and ways to get your music to fans and, you know, kind of like new media ways, you know, and also kind of like,
honestly,
yeah.
Yeah, not really.
You're like, so no, actually, not really like, at all.
Yeah, I'm really not. It's just like, I'll explain to you exactly my process, you know, releasing things. I mean, I guess that's not true. Like, if it was like a certain key, I'm not looking through ways on like social media to break music, because I just feel like there's a, even if it's a long one, I just feel like there's a trend there, and I just want to like separate myself from things that can be dated and timed, even though it's, you know, it's so cool, the help of such a viral platform that, you know, spread your music and spread your sound. I just don't want to like do like gimmicky type things to get that done, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
because I just want the longevity to be there, and I feel like when you tie yourself up with trends, it's like you leave when they leave. So
you know, I want to add something to that. You know, I think, you know, what kind of like building upon what you were saying earlier about how there's like kind of like no rules in a way for music anymore. You know, I think it's really hard for people in general to kind of, there's not like one place to listen to music anymore, like the way it used to be like maybe 20 years ago. And so now there's so many different ways that people can listen to music. What is kind of like the main way that you yourself find out about new music?
Yeah, well, I do a lot of music hunting. I listen everywhere. You know, if it's going through the fresh and hot, you know, genre on SoundCloud and just listening through all the new artists, or, you know, just going through playlists on Spotify and Apple Music. And I like to listen to the chill hits playlist, because there's always like some random ones in there that are always like on everything. There's always some random ones that are like super cool.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, I think we all know the best form of advertising is like from your friends, like word of mouth, you know, having a friend be like, yo, you got to hear this kid, like, you know, people you respect telling you that something's amazing, you definitely have a different approach to listening to it. But man, I'm always looking for new music. I'm always looking for stuff that I actually enjoy. It's so amazing when I find music that I like.
And I'm sure a lot of fans are discovering you through your touring, because you actually opened for Camila Cabello. Now you're out right now on the road. And in August, you're going to be joining Justin Timberlake on the European leg of his Man of the Woods tour. You know, what do you pick up when you're touring with these other artists? Do you, you know, try to like watch their sets or see how they, you know, how they operate on the road? And what have you learned from touring with some other artists?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always on record on tour, just like looking at everything and just learning how it goes and you know, trying to have a better understanding of it. So, especially getting to watch Justin Timberlake, because he's always been one of my, you know, one of my biggest inspirations. So getting to watch him will be really special too. But you learn so much. I could just see the kind-hearted person that she is, and you know, like, it's good to treat everyone around you with the utmost respect, no matter like who it is. She definitely demonstrated that, you know. I mean, it's just so much. Just being able to be in front of that many people every night, you know, for the first time performing in almost like 5 years. I was on Camila's tour. It was amazing to just learn again and to fall in love with it over again. And yeah.
Katie and I are both jumping in, trying to ask you a question at the same time. I'll jump in and say, I'll be definitive. Did you get time to like sort of spend time with Camila and like chat just about music and kind of like just hang out, or was it kind of like two ships passing in the night when you guys were on the road together?
Yeah, we got time to kick it. but a lot of it was like a mix of both. A lot of it was like I was doing like so much press too, so I wouldn't even be able to catch her set a lot of the time, and I'd have to leave like right after, you know, to get into the next city. She's such a cool girl, honestly, and yeah, I mean, when both of us get free time, we're definitely gonna get back in the studio and work on some stuff.
Ah, cool. So that means there's a Camila Bazzi collaboration. That's what you're actually telling us, right?
There must be.
See, when you laugh and just say there must be, that means there is, and it's going to come out in like a week, right? That's yes, no, yes, no. Oh, fine.
I was wondering if you've had an opportunity to meet Justin Timberlake yet, or if you're going to be meeting him when you join him on tour.
So it's actually crazy. I went to the Bahamas with some friends, and this is about like 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe 5 weeks ago, actually. So one night we went and got dinner at this like very, very like low-key restaurant that's like on the water. And there were literally like two groups of people there. It was me, my girl, my sister, and one of my friends named Sam. And then right next to us is... and we didn't say anything to each other. We both just like carried on with our meals and ate our food, and then 2 or 3 days later, he asked me to open up for him on his tour.
Whoa.
Wow. Well, yeah. One, I have to say, hilariously, and people will know this already, you've occasionally cut out in this interview for like 3 seconds, and you cut out when I'm assuming you said the words Justin Timberlake was sitting next to you.
Oh, you guys missed the part where I said Justin Timberlake was next to you?
Yeah, we might need you to tell that story a third time.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You just got to edit it in.
Yeah.
Justin Timberlake.
It's fine. I mean, people know it's Justin Timberlake now. We don't need to go back and have you tell the story yet again. So what did you like? So when you were there at dinner, did you actually like have a conversation with him and be like, yo, what's up? I love you. How are you?
Nothing.
Oh,
nothing. Not a single word. Not one word to each other. We both just ate our food and just like, I didn't want to bother him. He's with his wife, and they look like they're on vacation. I definitely was not going to walk up and, you know, mess with their vibe. But previously to that, we had absolutely no correlation, connection, or anything.
It's like the universe brought you together, and now you'll be able to tell him that story in Europe.
Yeah, I know. I wonder if he's like going to be like, I knew that was you, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to
that. He's like, yeah, I remember seeing you next to me at this like resort, and I really liked that tropical drink you ordered, and I knew that you were the one to open for me on my tour.
Exactly. That's exactly how it happened.
I mean, it sounds like a silly question, but like, what are like, say, one or two of your favorite JT songs?
Cry Me a River might definitely be number one.
Wow.
I don't know. I just love Cry Me a River, and then the music video was like fucking ridiculous.
Katie is a huge Justin fan, so she's nodding her head vigorously on this end.
That's a great choice.
Yeah, it is. And then the one, 5 Seconds to Save the World. I've always. Like, I don't even know if that's the title of it.
That is called, called 4 Seconds, sir, and it features
four
Madonna.
Minutes, four minutes.
Shit.
And then four I fuck
seconds.
It up. God damn it.
Yeah. Jesus. I've always loved that one just because it was so, like, left field. And he just, like, there was, like, nothing in the world that sounded like that. And I just respect innovation and people who come in and just do shit that's, like, so different than everybody else to succeed. So I really like that one, too.
And also Madonna's on it, so, you know, that helps, too.
Yeah, I mean, just a little plus, a little benefit.
Also, it's just stupid that I, who am a huge Madonna fan, like, screws up the name of the title as I try to correct you. So that's just stupid. One of the last questions we want to ask you, you know, you've blown up really big, you know, kind of relatively quickly in like a big way in the past year, though you've been percolating obviously for a number of years, but you know, things have really changed in the past year for you. You know, what's been like a really like challenging thing that you've had to deal with, you know, in the past year or so, and what have you kind of learned from that challenge? I know that sounds like a big question, but you know, I mean,
yeah, no, that's a great question. Yeah. I think it's definitely been, just learning to still, you know, be the same kid I was before all this happened, in the sense of where I put my self-validity. Because I think once you start having people with so many opinions on what you're doing, you know, you have all these fans and all these listeners, you just naturally, you find yourself starting to put validation in your self-acceptance. in the people and in their excitement for you and in their, and that's just a toxic thing to do, you know, because I can never feel those people's emotions and I can only feel mine. And you know, your self-acceptance should exist solely inside of you with no opinion other than your own. And I think that's been a big lesson for me to learn, you know, a lesson I'm still learning for sure.
Well, you know, it's been great talking to you, sir, and I'm glad that we can, you know, chat for a little bit on your tour bus in the middle of you literally don't know where you're at. Hopefully you'll have clarity on that when you roll up to the venue in a couple hours.
Yeah, me too.
Much success to you on the road for the rest of this year, because I know you got a ton of dates. And congratulations again on all the success with Mine and your album, and we look forward to hearing more music from you and seeing more music videos and just seeing more of you in the future. So thank you again.
Amazing, man. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks again to Bozzy for taking the time to call us up and chat. Sorry we woke you. His solo tour wraps up on August 9th, but you can catch him, at least for now. He could add more dates later. But you can catch him playing both the Life is Beautiful and iHeartRadio Music Festivals in September and the Austin City Limits Festival in October. And of course, he'll open for Timberlake during a string of dates in August in Europe.
Gives me an idea for a new Pop Shop feature called Wake Up Call, where we spring interviews on unsuspecting famous people. Just as they're waking in their trailers.
It's like, this is going to be the best interview. Like, you don't even know where you're at right now, quite literally. No, that was kind of funny. And now, it's time for the chart stat of the week. It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night. This week in 1964, The Beatles, A Hard Day's Night, which you just heard, hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. One of a record 20
yeah,
number ones.
Try
20, Keith. 20 number ones for the Fab Four. On the chart dated August 1st, 1964, the track, which was the group's fifth number one at the time, climbed 2-1 in its third week on the list and stayed atop the chart for 2 weeks. With the Hot 100 celebrating its 60th anniversary on August 4th, we thought it'd be fun to simply highlight the act with the most number ones in the chart's history. Amazingly, the group logged all 20 of their number ones in a really short span of time. Their first was on February 1st, 1964, with I Want to Hold Your Hand, and their last came on June 13th, 1970, with The Long and Winding Road. I'll say that one more time, with The Long and Winding Road. I was saying everything so slowly to make sure I said it just right, and I still, like, turned into a frog with the long and winding throat. That is kind of crazy how they had so much success in such a short time. It's not like this is a new concept, obviously, but...
Well, I always think of them as, like, the 60s band and know that, like, Let It Be came out in 1970, the album. But then I forget that, like, their first wasn't until 1964, so in actuality, like, it's not really a decade. It's 6 years. It's wild.
Yeah, so it's like 65,
it's like verging on 7 years.
69, 70. It's just like a little over 6 years.
Yeah.
Like, in just a little over like 6 years span of time, they had 20 number ones, all the success, and then they were done.
Yep.
Done, out the door, boom.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now we're going to get a new Paul McCartney album here in a
couple
months.
Yeah, I actually love, Paul McCartney has had some really good solo albums.
I finally watched that, the carpool with Paul McCartney.
It's so charming.
That was so great.
Dude, he committed. Like, that was like a day shoot, day long, you know, full Liverpool, full like performance, full everything.
Yeah. It's
walk down memory lane.
It's absolutely different from any carpool karaoke that James Corden has done. Cause I was just like, oh, I don't know. I don't watch another one.
How about when James says like, oh, like my grandpa. And he's like, he's here. Oh,
it's just, I mean,
tears.
It's just, and there's a pause.
Yeah.
And you like, it's sinking in and it's like, oh.
Like that was such a gift Paul McCartney gave to James Corden on all levels, but like that, especially that moment.
Yeah. Well, clearly you have to go watch the Carpool Karaoke now.
Yes, if you have not.
So there you have it. This week, back in 1964, the act with the most number ones in the history of the Hot 100, The Beatles, topped the list with A Hard Day's Night. Hey, when I'm home.
now we need to get Paul McCartney on the Pop Shop. I'm going to aim high.
I mean, Stranger Things.
Stranger Things have happened. I mean, we have had some legends on the show. You spoke with James Taylor. There's people who are on the who have been on the show. Stevie Nicks.
I think James Taylor. Well, we've had Johnny Mathis.
You had Cher.
Cher was not on the podcast.
Oh, that was an interview you did for .com.
Yeah. Mm. But yeah, I was trying to think, is there anyone that beats the vintage of James Taylor? Because there's James Taylor and...
talk to Daryl Hall.
Johnny Mathis. not really, but yeah, you know.
No. Well, if we get offered...
If you're listening. Paul's team. if you're listening, Paul can co-host.
Yeah, yes.
we will defer to him. I mean, is there anything we can offer? We've got some amazing water here that we can give you. Okay, maybe not.
Okay.
Any parting words aside from all those words we just said?
Oh man. Oh, can we play a fun Luke Bryan track to go out?
Oh yeah, sure. We can book in the show. We started off talking about your evening with Luke Bryan, and now we can go out with a song from Luke.
It feels like Play It Again would be a good one.
I think you actually mentioned that in your story, don't you?
Love that song.
Sounds good to me.
Bye. Should have seen her light up. She was like, oh my God, this is my song. We've been listening to the radio all night long. I can't believe that it came back on.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.